Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Thursday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review, who is also the author of The Weed Agency, now available online and in bookstores everywhere. And, Jim, we start with the good, and this is a little bit of a twisted good martini because the story involving the prisoner swap and the more we learn about Bo Bergdahl is certainly not good. But much like the VA scandal, a lot of Democrats are pretty unvarnished in their criticism of the administration. Mika Brzezinski was asking a lot of tough questions on Morning Joe of the administration, something she's not known to do. Richard Engel of NBC News, who's a more balanced reporter, says he's gotten a lot more information on this whole exchange from the Taliban than he has from the Obama administration. And here's how Chris Matthews wrapped up his show earlier this week.
I have a strong disagreement with anyone who thinks we should normally release these people as long as the war in Afghanistan continues and we, Americans, have troops and diplomats in country, as we will after these five Taliban figures have gotten past the even limited detention they now face in Qatar. To say this trade is messy is an understatement, which sadly does not mean it wasn't the only deal there was. To get Sergeant Bergdahl released, we had to do something disreputable. It's up to the partisan critics now, however, to say how they would have gotten this soldier home under less disgusting terms.
And, Jim, there are others on MSNBC who are still defending the president. So what do you think here? Is this a matter of this simply being indefensible on many levels? Are they already transitioning to Hillary advocacy? What's going on here?
It's disgusting, but it's the minimal level of disgusting we could manage. I have this fascinating belief that this is the best deal we could get from the Taliban. The military, if you believe the sources of the Washington Times, believe this guy was not worth launching a rescue mission over, or that the risk was too high. I think it really raises the question of, you know, just what you're willing to give up the negotiating table. What really has made this so much more difficult for the administration and so outrageous to the American people is that they insisted about lying about it. Lying about, you know, Susan Rice's comments on the Sunday show and everything else she has said, that basically was, oh no, this is the heroic moment. There's no downside to this deal. We should be having a broad bipartisan rejoicing over this. What's intriguing is now after the VA, this is the second time the administration has kind of sent out its defenders to say, look, we don't have much of a spin. Each day that he's consistent that Shinseki should stay on, and we have the Shinseki resignation watch. And I think they're now getting tired of it. I think you see his congressional Democrats getting tired of it in the sense that, look, they, as much as they're loyal to this president, and they have marched in lockstep from day one for a really long time, it really gets tough when you start not taking care of the troops and in circumstances like this, just flat out antagonizing the troops. We saw from one of the HUD spokesmen today kind of insinuating that his platoon was full of psychos. A convenient sign of how, you know, the nine folks who come forward must all be wrong. And Bergdahl must be a hero because that was the administration's original narrative.
A lot more to come on this. I'm sure there'll be plenty more Sunday show opportunities for the administration. The president was also asked about this today once again. We had one of his comments yesterday in the Bad Martini. We've got another one from him today. This one, I believe, is from the joint press conference he had with British Prime Minister David Cameron. And once again, he was asked about whether this was worth it to get back a soldier of questionable character and service in exchange for five key Taliban figures. And this time the president said this.
I think it was important for people to understand that this is not some abstraction. This is not a political football. You have a couple of parents whose kid volunteered to fight in a distant land, who they hadn't seen in 5 years and weren't sure whether they'd ever see again. And as Commander-in-Chief of the United States Armed Forces, I am responsible for those kids.
And I think every Commander-in-Chief has that perspective, Jim, but that doesn't necessarily change a lot of facts on the ground.
Yeah, notice how frequently he's using the term kid. Now, you know, here's the thing. Once you put on your uniform, this is a man who made his own decision, and it appears made the decision to walk off his post and put himself in great danger. And, you know, according to some of the comments, some of the evidence, may have sought out to meet up with the Taliban. I don't quite understand why this president can't make an admission against interest, come out and say, you know, I understand people disagreeing with this decision. We had a lot of bad options. I felt the most important thing was to get him home, and then we could resolve the consequences of what he did. And that's what I did, and I'm sticking with it. Like, he can make it, but he basically is using his same old playbook, which is that everyone who disagrees with him is being unreasonable and is being silly and is playing politics. You know, are the nine guys who came forward playing politics, Mr. President?
As usual, our crazy martini is vital because we need some comic relief in the wake of this very disturbing and very sobering story. Although the underlying story here is not very exciting either. Senate Democrats are trying to water down campaign finance rules and limit who can actually engage in political speech. It is largely being led by Harry Reid and Chuck Schumer. But Schumer on Tuesday, this according to the Washington Times, stumbled over basic American history, crediting Thomas Jefferson for authorship of the Bill of Rights during a debate over the First Amendment and campaign finance. Quote, "I think if Thomas Jefferson were looking down, the author of the Bill of Rights, on what's being proposed here, he'd agree with it. He would agree that the First Amendment cannot be absolute." And a lot of folks have pointed out that, well, it was more James Madison and George Mason who did that. Jefferson wasn't even in the country when that was being adopted. He was serving in France. Ken Cuccinelli posting on Facebook today, "It's kind of disturbing that Chuck Schumer, who's supposedly a constitutional lawyer, doesn't know who wrote the Bill of Rights. But more importantly, he's actively trying to shred the First Amendment."
Yeah, troubling on both fronts. I will say that we were kind of warned about this, Greg. We all remember the famous saying that those who do not study history are destined to represent New York in the Senate, which means seat in this case. You know, interesting, I like the argument. Well, if Thomas Jefferson were here, he would tell you that I'm totally right. If I had that choice, I would then say, oh, yeah? Well, if George Washington and Benjamin Franklin were here, they'd say, you know what, let's bring in the entire Nationals mascot team. They can all back up our position on this. So even in the best of circumstances, it's rather silly to invoke, founding fathers and say, well, we're going to restrict people's right to speech, but trust us, the founding fathers will be with us on this one.
As far as the pantheon of Chuck Schumer crazy moments, this probably doesn't rank that high, but...
he set the bar high. Let's give credit. You know, this is... he does more crazy stuff before 9 a.m. than most people do all day.
Exactly. Now, Jim, we should point out that you will not be on the podcast tomorrow. You'll be flying out to the West Coast to take part in Bill Maher's HBO show. So what preparations have you done for going into that liberal den?
I'm being told to really be prepared for this. I think, you know, I don't even want to spoil the guest list. I'll just urge people, if you have HBO, tune in. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm fairly certain it will not be boring, and we'll be able to go over all of it on Monday if I survive, Greg.
Looking forward to that. Have a safe trip. We'll talk to you Monday.
All right. See you Monday, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us today. Please tune in on Friday for the next edition of the 3 Martini Lunch.